Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, tragedy in Dadeville. Also, concerns over grocery tax. And voter suppression, once again, in the heart of Dixie.
Troopers, advance!
History not remembered is doomed to repeat. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, yes.
Coming to you from outside of beautiful downtown Atala.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
We think so.
Yeah, we do. Hey, Josh, and, you know, the tragedy that struck Dadeville a little over a week ago is still unfolding. Three young men have been accused of murdering four other, basically, children and injuring 32. Another horrific example of how gun violence permeates our state. You wrote a column about gun violence and our gun culture this past week that I thought was salient and spoke to the heart of the problem. But we're told we're not supposed to politicize this. I don't know what else we're supposed to do in a time like this, because thoughts and prayers just don't cut it.
Yeah. Well, when people say you're not supposed to politicize something, what they really mean is please don't bring this up anymore. Because, I mean, it's honestly, this is the way that we make laws and regulations for things. It's a political process that we have. And we've told people for a number of years now that having guns makes you safer, that having guns is good. It's the American way. This is what we're supposed to do. And then we pretend to be shocked. You know, all of our politicians who make their ads with their guns and firing their guns at the gun range and doing all these different things, you know, to show how supportive they are of guns, they're all shocked to learn that a bunch of kids are now carrying around guns and believe that guns are the way to solve all disputes and situations when we've provided them very little conflict resolution training or anything, any other way to handle these situations, and told them repeatedly how great guns are and showed them how great guns are in movies and TV shows and everywhere else. And so they have no concepts outside of this on which to rely on. They have nobody telling them, saying, hey, these things are deadly weapons that you can injure somebody with. And here are a set of laws to make sure you understand how deadly they can be for people. We don't do that. And then we act shocked and surprised by it and then tell people not to politicize it.
Susan, we were all shocked. Once again, the horror of seeing young lives snuffed out so early. But it doesn't seem that our Republican friends are willing to do anything of substance about the gun violence or curtailing access to guns at all.
No, it doesn't seem so. And it's one of the leading causes of children's deaths in Alabama. I mean, there were 80 children in 2021, whether intentionally or unintentionally, caused by firearms. We've got to start addressing this problem somewhere. Like Bill says, saying thoughts and prayers is not enough. We've got, you know, a situation where, yeah, you have to be a certain age to have a gun, but these were 16, 17-year-old kids. You've got to pass a mental health, you know, cue, but we don't really do that enough. So what we've got and acted right now is not working. We've got to look at somewhere else to start to try to curb some more of this gun violence.
You know, Josh, since 2014, over 520 Alabama children have been killed with guns, more than 1,000 injured. But it brings home the idea that it's a gun culture. Because there's really nothing that I can think of, knowing what we know right now about Dadeville, that we could have enacted as laws, like red flag laws or those types of things, that would have prevented this from happening. Because the people that had these pistols, we are told, were too young to have purchased them, I think. Anyway, but somehow they got their hands on it. And like you said, they thought it was okay to settle disputes with the firearm.
Yeah, you know, and I hear that argument a lot about this. And, you know, first of all, let me say about our unwillingness to address this in terms of laws. There was a proposed change to the permitless carry law from Chris England that would have merely made it a crime for someone to tell a police officer that they did not have a weapon, a firearm in the car, and then it is discovered that they do have a firearm in the car.
Yeah.
That was voted down in the committee. Didn't even make it out of committee. So that's how unwilling people are to make any changes to gun laws in here or add any additional regulations. But, you know, I hear the argument a lot about how, well, there's no regulation that would have stopped this or would have stopped that. Well, we don't know that. We don't know. Let's say, where did those weapons come from? All right. Let's say there's a law that requires somebody to properly store those weapons. Maybe those weapons don't get stolen. Maybe those weapons aren't on the street for somebody to purchase. If that we have the storage laws and we have laws that make sure people treat these weapons with the sort of respect that they deserve and stop leaving them around. You have reports of car thefts constantly in which weapons are stolen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's been an uptick in those a lot lately.
Yeah. I want to move on real quickly. We're running out of time. But no offense to Senator Jay Hovey, who represents that district around Dadeville. But he talked about not politicizing the event. And then he also said that we can't legislate morality, Susan, which is the furthest thing from the truth. We legislate morality all the time. That's what they do, is legislate morality. Transgender bills, abortion bills, gambling bills, alcohol laws. Those are legislating a moral standpoint.
But once again, that is a key phrase for, nothing we can do about it, folks. Don't look here.
Well, Josh,
I'm saying, well, you know, if criminals want guns, they're going to have guns. Well, you know, if they want drugs, they're going to have drugs. So should we do away with those laws as well?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And maybe he just misspoke, but it's a false premise to think that we don't legislate morality. That is exactly what we do. And it's in the very definition of morality. It talks about political situations. We do politicize these events because it drives home with the murder of children that we need to do more.
A 16-year-old girl who had her sweet 16th birthday held her brother as he took his last breath.
There is something we can do to stop this violence. Not all of it, but a good portion of it. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, transgender issues have taken off in Republican circles. cotton candy at a fair. This whole idea of transgender youths and transgender this and transgender that came along after the Supreme Court found that gay marriage was constitutional. And so certain conservative groups went looking for another boogeyman they could go after, and they found that attacking transgender people, individuals, is a good selling point. It gets the base riled up. It gets people afraid.
Well, it gives you several subjects. Instead of just gay marriage, you can branch out.
Yeah, well, you can. But again, I mean, they've admitted this, Josh, in the Alabama, the American Principle Project, Tony Schilling admitted, Terry Schilling, I mean, admitted that they went looking for an issue to rile up the base, and now they have one. And this has come to the roost, as they say, here in Alabama, with a ban on transgender athletes from competing in college, which is going to run up against Title IX and is going to run up against the NCAA, but they don't care.
No, it's and they equally don't care that I believe it was 32 incidences out of 480,000 student athletes participating in college athletics, only 32 instances of transgender folks competing in an event. I mean, it's absurd the amount of attention that has been paid to this and the number of bills that have come up about this. But and it's all simply because of exactly what they wanted. They wanted an issue that attracted the worst of people, that played on fears, that play, we're castrating children and all this nonsense that came about. And really what you're doing is you're just you're further demonizing a group of young people who are already having a really hard time. They didn't really care about that small number of people. And really, it's kind of the perfect issue, along the same lines of CRT and some of these other made-up issues. It's a perfect issue for Republicans because they're never going to have they're probably never going to run into transgender kids in their general circle of folks. And so they'll never have to accept it as they did with gay marriage and other things that have come along in the past, like black people, for example. They're never going to run into these folks that they're going to have to accept and learn to get along with and see that everybody is okay and they're not some great boogeyman. So they're never going to run into these transgender folks out there because there's so few of them in the country. And so it's just a great issue for them to latch on to and demonize a group of people who don't deserve it.
But and what they're doing also here is, like you say, the lack of understanding. The lack of understanding among the average voter is they may not know transgender folks, they may not understand the issue, but it goes straight to a fear, and it gets their attention. And just like this, and the other laws that we're talking about where they're picking on people, essentially, what they're doing is taking your fear and pulling it out so that you're not looking at what they're doing over here. They're not doing anything. There are no policies that they're working on. So they don't have anything to talk about except for, as you said, the boogeyman.
Right. Well, you really can line this up. I thought Representative Philip Eisner, who's a Democrat from Jefferson County, he is
Montgomery.
An attorney. Oh, that's right, Montgomery. I'm sorry. You're right, from Montgomery. It's right here in my notes. I just didn't read them. Anyway, he brought up the fact that this is probably going to be go to court, and
it will
most likely be ruled invalid because of Title IX. And the Biden administration's policy there. Now, again, this will not hurt the lawmakers in Alabama to spend millions of dollars on another frivolous lawsuit because we dare defend our wrongs. And that's exactly what they're doing here. Again, I personally, certainly struggle with the fact that I don't want some 6'4", 6'8", guy competing with a girl on the track team. I mean, a guy somebody that used to be a guy that's transgender. I mean, it's tough. I mean, Bruce Jenner would have been a formidable woman or man. But, again, I can see where people have it. But the thing is, passing these laws only means more lawsuits. That's
but
all
the
it
thing
means.
Is, when these lawsuits are decided, they don't get the press that these legislators get while they're harping on the issue. People don't understand how much this ends up costing the state just because they were doing the Alabama make me way.
Yeah, it's and you know, but back to your point, Bill, about the you know the folks. Everybody has a problem with unfair competition, okay? And everybody understands that, but that's not really what's taking place here, okay? I mean, if you look at the out of those 32 cases, you'd be hard pressed to find a case where you were talking about somebody who just was doing this to get an unfair advantage,
right?
You know
right,
what I mean? True. And it's true. Just so that's not what is taking place. That's not something that's happening in the sport. And as a matter of fact, what's happening in almost every case is the decision that's being made is more fair for all the people involved. That you have an athlete that would be out of place on the opposite sex sports teams, you know, and so that's what's taking place in a lot of these things because the NCAA has set up rules and guidelines to govern this.
And you generally we bow to the NCAA, and this time we're going to fight them. But I need to move on here. So it's kind of an interesting thing, you know. The big push is to repealed the state grocery tax, to repeal it. Now, we have some mayors that have said, well, it's going to put pressure on us to repeal the city and county tax on gas, which, I mean, I keep saying gas, I'm sorry, groceries, which could cause some hardships. But there's no mandatory that they do that. There's nothing to make them do it. But that is a concern, Josh.
Yeah, it is a concern, but, you know, and it's a concern also that, you know, that they're also trying to do away with the occupational tax at the same time for a lot of these cities because they've been, you know, we don't have very, very good home rule here. And so it's a real problem in fundraising for a lot of those cities. But at the same time, there are alternate ways to go about getting your money for those cities. And they're going to have to be creative and find them and stop taking it out on the poorest amongst us.
Well, Walt Maddox, the mayor of Tuscaloosa, said, we're happy to do it. We'll figure out other ways to make money. I'm sure the other mayors can do the same.
He did, and he called it the Elevate Tuscaloosa Plan, which he's trying to elevate people instead of push them down.
Yep, right. And that's what we need in this state, elevation, but not pushing them down, right?
Yeah.
All right, you're watching The Bee, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. If folks haven't watched the movie Selma, they need to. And to be reminded of how far we've come in voting rights, but how far we still have to go if you look at the Alabama legislature. People died for voting rights. They were beaten. They were demonized, they were disenfranchised for years and years and years.
Imprisoned.
And now the Alabama legislature, some of them in their infinite wisdom, want to once again disenfranchise voters. And in this case, they passed a bill out of committee on party lines that says if you help anyone fill out an absentee ballot, or if they pay someone, or if someone gets involved in an individual filling out an absentee ballot, that person can go to prison, can be charged with a C felony. You know, one man who testified, he's blind, he said, well, I can't fill out my ballot without assistance. And they said, well, you can get a family member to help you fill it out. Well, in the case of me and Susan, we can fill out our absentee ballots. We don't have any family members. Mm-hmm. So we could not legally get assistance from our neighbor to help us fill out our absentee ballot.
And it's very specific for people to distribute, order, request, collect, complete, obtain, or deliver an absentee ballot for an application on behalf of another person, with a few exceptions. That's pretty strict. That cuts out a whole lot of voters.
Yeah,
right there.
It does. And what you're talking about is disabled voters, elderly voters. Mm-hmm. You're talking about people that certainly want to vote, Josh.
And a lot of them who fought for that right to vote.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that. But you're right, Susan. There's some people that are veterans that are in wheelchairs and disabled that this bill would target.
Yeah, it's you got a lot of disabled veterans at veterans homes that are going to be unable to get assistance, apparently, from this bill, from the folks, the nurses and people around them that help them out every day. So, because, you know, I got to tell you, if my policies were so damn awful that I've got to figure out creative ways every single week to keep people from voting, I think I'd find some better policies. I mean, because this is, honestly, where in the Constitution do you think we could first find the argument? And what amendment? How far down the amendment list do you think we'd have to go? Because I'm betting we could stop at the first one on a freedom of speech issue and say that there's no way in hell that you can tell somebody that you can't go next door and help your neighbor fill out an absentee ballot. Where are you going to? Who's going to stop you? What you're going to do? Yeah. What are you sending out the police? Is this part of Marjorie Taylor Greene's gazpacho squad that's coming out after everybody? Nonsense.
So if a nurse in a nursing home is in a room and a patient says, I can't read that word right there. What is that word? She's going to be charged with a Class C felony.
She's going to jail.
Answers the question. Yeah.
Being the same charge as if she had killed somebody. Manslaughter. The Class C felony.
I can tell you this, a Representative Jamie Kyle, or Kale, I can't, no, is it Kyle? Anyway, of Russellville, our reporter asked him, how are you going to enforce this? And he said, well, like any other law, you know, there'd be warrants, and then there would be arrests, and there'd be trials, and all. And he's like, disabled people?
Yeah.
Blind people? You're going to go arrest them? He said, well, if they break the law, we're going to arrest them. In the world are you thinking?
I mean, honestly, man, how bad are your policies? How bad are your policies, or your lack of policies, for that matter, that this is your concern, that you are worried about people going next door and helping their neighbors, or helping people order absentee ballots? First of all, you should be thanking the Lord that somebody is out here helping everybody possible vote. I want everybody out here to be able to vote. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? If my neighbor across the street went around and collected names and absentee ballot applications for everybody on the street and ordered them and helped them get them, why is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
You're helping people vote for their representation. Is that a bad thing for anybody?
And
maybe he could set up a tip line where people can call and rat on you.
Yeah, right out.
And we can send it right to his cell phone.
I'm sure they've got it in Florida.
It's illegal what they're doing, and they know it's illegal. And every single member of the House Republican Party sponsored this bullshit. It's nonsense.
Oh, and they put it in a very small room with no live stream, and nobody could get in there. I think there ended up being one reporter in the room, and that was it. I don't think they didn't do that on purpose, folks.
Well, I talked to a Republican friend of mine who, said, we gerrymandered everything to the point that we're going to get elected. He said, this is just another one of these stupid bills that we have to vote for to keep the base thinking that we're fighting hard for election integrity. But
how is this election integrity? How is this election integrity? This is not integrity. This is the opposite of integrity.
We've got health crisis in the state. We have roads and bridges that need building. We have so many other things that we have a mental health crisis. So many other things that we could be working on, except for this foolishness, which is this, what this is. It's just plain foolishness.
Well, what it's going to do is it keeps the base convinced that they are fighting for them.
It's the reason we've got them.
Alabama House this past week passed a bill to abolish the failing school classification. I think Dr. Mackey, Eric Mackey, the superintendent of schools, made a great point. He said they want to call them failing schools so that they can humiliate struggling communities and push scholarships to private schools.
That's it.
Period.
That's all they were doing. That was the whole purpose of this whole thing, was to set up this system where people believed, even if they weren't failing, even if their schools were improving. You couldn't improve enough if you were still in the bottom 6%. You still could not, even if you improved greatly over what you had the year before, you were still deemed a failing school. And so the people in your community felt like it was failing. And you could go to a private school and use taxpayer dollars to do so.
The problem is, as Danny Garrett said this week on public television, there are no guardrails on these so-called school choice bills, and there's no transparency and there's no accountability. But unfortunately, we're gonna have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us, because we watch them.